Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Welcome to this edition of Family Talk. Here at the ministry, we are dedicated to providing information for parents on raising happy, godly, and healthy children. Dr. Dobson, I know that is particularly close to your heart.
Lou Ann, I'm sure many of our listeners know that I was on the faculty of the University of Southern California School of Medicine in the Department of Pediatrics for, I think, 14 years. And I was at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles for 17 years. So I care passionately about the health of children, about their welfare in every regard. And it's also a topic that's of importance to every parent who wants to raise healthy children. And we're going to try to make a contribution to that cause today. And our topic for today is immunizations. Who should get them and why and what the consequences are? And if there are any contraindications or any reason why we should not do this. There's just a lot of confusion out there and misinformation currently floating around in the media when it comes to that subject. But in Hosea 4:6, the Lord says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." Mm-hmm. And we want to help educate parents today so that they can discern the difference between fact and fiction on this somewhat controversial subject. Now, Ryan, you have a 4-year-old son, Lincoln, that we talk about often, that I talk about even more than you do. And you have reason to care about this. What conclusions have you drawn about immunizing Lincoln? And what have you heard out there about it? What are your impressions?
Well, first and foremost, we have a great pediatrician, and so we take her recommendation very highly, and we went through regular childhood immunizations. I think for Laura and I, what we want is to be able to trust the government. We want to be able to trust someone that's saying these immunizations are good for your child, and you know, you're not going to harm him by doing that. And there's so much misinformation about what this one's going to do, or this one was rushed to market too quickly. And with a lot of the things the government does, it makes it hard to trust them as an overreaching body. And that's why I go to doctors who I, you know, who I do trust and who I've got a relationship with.
Well, we've got a couple of guests here today who are authorities on this subject, and I'll present, or you can present, that question to them, because there are a lot of things that we want to talk about and we need to get right to it. Dr. Walt Larimore was in private practice of family medicine for over 20 years and he delivered more than 1,500 babies. His medical degree is from Louisiana State University School of Medicine. Some time of the year related to football. I don't get really excited about that, and we argue about it. But he's authored a number of books, including his latest, His Brain, Her Brain, How Divinely Designed Differences Can Strengthen Your Marriage. Dr. Larimore and his wife Barb have been married since 1973, and they have two grown children and live here in Colorado Springs. And we've been friends for a long, long time. Worked together at Focus on the Family for a time, where you were a physician in residence for medical outreach. Did I get that right?
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Well, good to have you back. Good to work with you again.
Good to see you, Jim. Just one correction. I actually went to school at Harvard.
Oh.
On the bayou.
Oh, yeah. That's a lie. Also with us today is Dr. Wayne Gage, who's been in practice for 35 years in family and emergency medicine. He earned his medical degree from the University of Texas Medical School at Houston. He's also published in prestigious medical journals, and he and his wife reside also here in Colorado Springs. So, Dr. Gage, good to have you here.
Thank you, Jim. My privilege and honor.
And you and I have known each other since 1985. And this is the first time we've worked together in the studio. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, it's about time.
Okay.
Well, we've got a very interesting and important topic to talk about, that of immunizations. So we're going to talk about children in that context today. And tomorrow we'll talk about adults. So we're going to hang on to you guys for a second day. Dr. Larimore, make a case for immunizing children. What is the controversy and what is your perspective on it?
Jim, it's a critical topic and one that parents everywhere, worldwide, are talking about. If we were to take all of the public health interventions that have been proven to save lives in the last 200 years, we could not pick one that saved more lives or had more impact in the past nor today than immunizing children against lifelong disability and fatal diseases. There's nothing we have that's more effective than immunizations.
Then why the controversy?
I think that there's a number of reasons for that. First of all, as Ryan pointed out, many of our recommendations come from government, and particularly in faith-based circles. We tend to have kind of this anti-government or careful of the government. Ryan, I think you said it perfectly. We in faith-based communities have that worry, number one. Number two, in faith-based communities, we tend to be a little bit more anti-science. We're very pro-faith, but some of us have problems with science.
But this skepticism is broader than just the Christian community.
Without question.
In fact, it's international.
Oh, yeah. And I think it resides most prominently in a faith-based community, but it goes all across communities. And in New Age communities and faith-based communities, the third thing we see is that both of those communities depend to a great degree on the discernment of truth from testimonials. How many times in our churches do we listen to somebody's testimony? And in science, we know that testimonies are important, but they're not the best way to find truth. So we find so-called experts who come up with theories about conspiracies when it comes to immunizations or harm of immunizations, and those spread like wildfire.
Wayne, there is specifically a concern about autism and its relationship to immunizations. And there are those who think that the one causes the other. Not only is there a correlation, but they believe there's a cause and effect. If you immunize your children, they're at a greater risk for autism and other diseases. Respond to that.
Well, there is quite a bit of concern out there. And if you listen to John Travolta and some of the other celebrities, you know, they are very anti-immunizations, believing that it could, you know, cause autism. As you know, Mr. Travolta had a son that, you know, recently died, and he had autism. But there is absolutely no proof that autism is caused by immunizations. And Walt can speak to this even better. He mentioned 10 or 12 myths of immunizations in his book about the healthy child, and gives a lot of statistics to dispel the fact that immunizations could cause autism. To me, it's important that the American Academy of Family Practice and the American Academy of Pediatrics and other institutions, including the pharmaceutical companies, have said that there is absolutely no connection, you know, of autism to immunizations. And I can guarantee if there were, these organizations would put a moratorium on these, and doctors would quit giving them if they were indeed connected.
It's my understanding that there are between 50,000 and 70,000 deaths per year that result from diseases that we could protect against with immunizations. Is that your understanding?
Well, that's true. And if you look at the history of immunizations and the diseases that they prevent, it's just so obvious that these diseases, like smallpox, is a thing of the past. That germ only exists basically in Atlanta in the Center for Disease Control. I mean, they have that organism stored there. But smallpox has been eradicated. When I was going through my residency in the early 1980s, we had an epidemic of diphtheria, and we had mass immunizations. We would be on the corners, you know, giving shots to all these unimmunized people. And we had a lot of cases of diphtheria. I had one little girl that died under my care in the intensive care unit. And diphtheria now is just a thing of the past because of the DPT. The number of diphtheria cases has been about 3 in the United States in the last 10 years. You know, it's just it's just unheard of. You cannot even get exposed to diphtheria unless you go to a third world country. But we could give many examples of why immunizations have just eradicated these diseases in the people who get the shots.
In preparation for this program today, I read that in Denmark they have medical records that are universal. The medical system allows them to keep very good records of their citizens. And they have demonstrated that there is absolutely no connection between immunizations and autism, because they have hundreds of thousands of names. I mean, statistics get more accurate with larger population. They've got the whole population. Walt, have you heard that?
Absolutely. Jim, it's time to put this myth completely to bed. It's not just not even a question anymore. It's totally disproven. Let me just give you a couple of shreds of the many that exist, despite the studies done on multiple continents looking at entire populations, not just including Scandinavia. If we look at the thimerosal argument, this was the mercury preservative that was in some vaccines. People became concerned there may be an association, so that preservative was completely removed from virtually all vaccines. Almost all childhood vaccines. Autism didn't go down. It went up. There was more of it. A study came out in England. 12 researchers said there's a relationship between the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, and autism. Well, as we've looked back on that over the last decade, 10 of those 12 researchers have said, whoops, that study was false. It was bunk. Mm-hmm. The journal that published it, Lancet, said, whoops, it was done wrong. We have retracted it. 2 of the top researchers have been brought up for charges. The top researcher had to leave England, has lost his license to practice there. Why? Because he failed to disclose that he was working for 2 organizations that were anti-vaccine. He was being
paid.
And
yet it stuck.
And yet it stuck. Parents around the world have chosen not to immunize their children for measles, mumps, and rubella. We've not only seen epidemics because of it, we've seen children die because of it. Let me introduce the last short thread, and that is that we have a vaccine compensation system in this country that allows parents to go to court and present the most compelling cases that they have. In this vaccine court, it's a federal court, they do not have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that vaccines cause autism. They only have to prove that they might, that there might be some evidence. And that court has determined just in the last year that out of the thousands of cases available, if you take the top 3 cases, the very best cases, that there's not a shred of evidence, not an iota of evidence, that vaccines cause autism or autism spectrum disorders. It really is time to put that to rest. And Jim, if for no other reason than parents who have to care for these children, it's a very difficult chore. Let's find the cause. Mm-hmm. Let's don't blame it on something that it isn't. Let's find the cause so that that disorder can be wiped out.
Given our litigious society, if there was anything there, you can bet that they would be winning lawsuits. And a lot of money would be involved, wouldn't it?
Without question. And we've seen epidemics in this country of measles, and it's occurred predominantly in unvaccinated populations of people. For example, there was a case up in Minnesota where a girl went overseas on a mission trip. She was unvaccinated. She didn't even get the measles, but she brought it back. And guess what? Spread it throughout not only her faith community, but throughout the general community. Mm. We're seeing the same thing in California now with pertussis. And we're seeing children dying today in California of vaccine-preventable diseases. Jim, that's why it's such an important topic.
You know, I received a letter some years ago from a mother who told me the story of her her little girl who was 4 years old, and she came home and bragged to her daddy that she'd gotten her shots. And her daddy said, "What kind did you get?" And she said, it was for mumps, measles, and rebellion. And, I wish there were a vaccination for rebellion, but we're not going to get that.
Hopefully this is going to take some of maybe the guilt off of parents who have kids who have autism and they think that they caused it, mm-hmm. that there could have been something they could have done to prevent this. If I just hadn't gotten my kids vaccinated, this wouldn't have happened. You know, when you've got a John Travolta or Jenny McCarthy was huge.
Still is. Yeah.
And then apparently her child has now been cured of autism. That's what she's claiming. Where are they getting any of their information? Is this just all speculation? I know we can Google anything and come up with an answer, but she's a comedian or an actress. I mean, if you want to use that term loosely, she has no medical background, and yet there are moms all over the place who are buying into that hook, line, and sinker.
But I don't know, Ryan, where they – it just impresses me that if you look at the studies that doctors and scientists and researchers look at, it, there is no evidence. I don't know where they're getting their information from that says the opposite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you have no qualms about giving those immunizations to children?
No, I certainly do not. And I work in urgent care now, and it is kind of frustrating when I see parents that come in and they say they don't want to give the immunizations because of the preservative or because of autism. Those are usually the two reasons. And it doesn't seem to make too much difference if I present the facts to them. Their minds are made up that they are just not going to do that. And they've been convinced either by celebrities or friends or family, but not by research.
React to this. I have a list here of diseases that can be prevented by immunization. Diphtheria, shingles, influenza, various types, pneumococcus, tetanus, Haemophilus influenza, type B, hepatitis B, human papillomavirus, that's HPV, measles, meningococcal, mumps, pertussis, polio, rotavirus, rubella, and chickenpox. All of those can be prevented? Is that a fair thing to say?
It is amazing compared to what it used to be. It seems like the number of immunizations increase almost every year. But by the time, I think, Walt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but by the time a child is 5 years old, they've received 21 different immunizations for 17 different diseases that you just mentioned.
Yeah. And but do parents still come in and argue with you?
Yes, they do. I mean, I still see some. I saw a patient that concerned me because this little child that was about 6 months old had a bulging fontanel and had meningitis, and that was the case. And these parents who were very devout Christians, very active in their church, said, we don't believe in immunizations. And they gave me several reasons, none of which made any sense to me. But this child, I was hopeful, would not have a serious like Haemophilus influenza or meningococcal meningitis. It turned out to be viral and the child did okay. But the pediatrician was very concerned when I called to admit this child and said the child's had no immunizations. And he said, oh, no, that could be awful.
You do realize we're going to get a lot of criticism for this program today?
Yes.
I mean, I could guarantee that because of programs like it we've done in the past.
Wait, the truth sometimes is hard to hear. It's sometimes even offensive. I think the young rich man probably was offended when Jesus said, go sell everything. The issue wasn't, was he offended? The issue was it true? And so my plea to the parents that I deal with is find the truth. It not only can save your child's life, but it can set you free. Jim, we have a mutual friend. We both worked with at Focus, and she contacted me recently, and she said, I will not immunize my children because Dr. So-and-so, who has this credential and this credential and this credential, is nationally and internationally known, all of which is true, says that vaccines will cause neurotoxicity, which will harm children. What do you have to say about that? So I went and looked up this guy and I wrote her back and I said, it's true that he says all of this, A. B, none of it's ever been scientifically proven, not even one iota, B. And C, if you go to quackwatch.com and look him up, he's in the top 50 quacks in the entire world. Be careful who you listen to. Paul admonished us in Acts 17. He said, if I come to your church and preach, don't believe it. Compare it to what? To Scripture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He told the Bereans that. Compare it to truth. And so I try to tell parents, find truth. Ryan, you were talking about Googling. Mm-hmm. What most parents don't know is that many of the anti-vaccination organizations optimize their search. Mm-hmm. They work the search engine so that if you look up MMR or autism or a vaccine, guess who comes to the top? Not just the top one, two, or three, but the top 15 or 20 positions are their position. Why? Because they know people are looking at Google. And Google has some wonderful there's wonderful things to be found on the internet, but there's also some dangers there.
Dr. Larimore, I'm the mom of four children ages 13 to 25, and I've got to tell you, when you talk about the whole area of immunizations, I'm just confused because in the past 12 years, in that span, everything's changed. Different shots that my oldest had to get, it's changed the requirements in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. I think that's contributing to a lot of the frustration we have as parents.
I think you're absolutely right. There's been at least a dozen major changes in adult and childhood immunization this year alone. Hmm. So it's hard for practicing physicians to keep up with everything. And Ryan, that may be where the average parent is their wisest, is to be very careful who you hire as your child's healthcare professional, whether it's a family physician or pediatrician, nurse practitioner, but to find someone who shares your faith precepts, that's critical, but also understands the science so that you don't have to look back on a decision that you made later and say, oh my goodness, that was the wrong decision for my child.
Wayne, those diseases that I listed are really scary. A lot of them can cause death, can't they?
Yes,
so
you're
really dealing with the life of your child.
And it causes a lot of hospitalizations in children that could have been treated at home and not have gotten that serious, or death when you get these diseases.
Or lifelong disabilities.
Well, that's true. The aftermath can be pretty serious.
Lou Anne and Ryan, I knew when we introduced this subject that we were going to have a real whale of a time with the clock, because it's a subject that you could talk for a week about. Mm-hmm. And we are going to give another day to it. We're going to try to focus our attention next time on adult immunizations, because there's a lot of information there too. And in fact, adults are much less likely to be immunized than our children, because with children there are programs and there's federal funding and there are ways of seeing that most kids get those immunizations. But adults are not so regulated. So we'll talk about that next time. Dr. Walt Larimore and Dr. Wayne Gage, two great friends, thank you for being here, and we're going to work you even harder next time.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
And what a fascinating discussion this has been. Ryan, I sure am looking forward to tomorrow's conversation with these two doctors again.
I am too, and it's an issue every parent has to deal with, and it's been all over the news.
That's
so we are very timely. For our listeners, we have links at myfamilytalk.com with more information about vaccines and preventable diseases to help answer the questions you still have. Again, it's myfamilytalk.com.
And of course, we invite you to give us your thoughts about this discussion today. Mm-hmm. Give us a call, 877-732-6825. 877-732-6825. And while you're at it, join in on the discussion going on at our Facebook page right now on this topic. We have a link to that also at myfamilytalk.com.
And before we close this program, I just want to give a huge thank you to all of our listeners that stepped forward to partner with us financially in the recent months. We cannot do this ministry without you. We are a listener-supported program, and that's how we survive, through your generosity and your prayers. And so there is a big thank you from us here at Family Talk.
We're especially aware of that at the end of 2010. And so starting 2011, if you haven't yet given to us, but it was on your heart to donate to this relatively new ministry, you can still give at myfamilytalk.com or over the phone. One last time, the number 877-732-6825.
Thanks for listening in, and don't miss the rest of our conversation tomorrow with Dr. Gage and Dr. Larimore. Hey everybody, Ryan Dobson here with Tobin Heim to let you know about our radio program, Grounded. It's every day at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific, available also for podcasts 24 hours a day at groundedradio.com. Tobin, I mean, we've had a great run of shows lately.
Yeah, we've had some amazing guests. We've had parenting guests, filmmakers, musicians, missionaries, you name it. If they're interesting, they're on this show.
That's right. We've had parenting experts like Dr. Kara Powell talking about specifically how do you pass your faith on to the next generation. She was fascinating. We had Emily Colson, Ken Davis, Lee Strobel. We've had musicians, missionaries. It's been just an amazing, amazing run.
The list goes on and on.
That's right. And every day during the radio program, we've got an online chat for listeners to ask questions and have it answered online. We take questions via Facebook. It is a great show. We think you're going to love it. Go to groundedradio.com every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, and click Listen Now.